Well, if you would turn once again to 1 Corinthians 12, we didn't finish the listing of gifts. You remember that here in this chapter, Paul gives us 9 different spiritual gifts. This is not an exclusive list. There are other gifts as well, but Paul focuses on these 9, and I'm sure that as we reviewed these gifts together, that if you came to the realization, and I hope you did, I could only do so much, but these gifts are for today, and they are for you. Now, they are for you in the sense that when a gift is needed, that gift will be bestowed upon you, that you in turn can edify, or that is, use the gift as a means of edifying another body of Christ, another member of the body of Christ. Edifying means to build up. And there are times where maybe you're down. Maybe you're feeling a bit hopeless. And then something happens and you think, oh man, life is just miserable. And you're not thinking of the blessings that you have in Jesus Christ. You're thinking about all of the problems that you're having, and somebody comes up to you and they give you a word from the Lord. Maybe it's a scripture verse. Maybe it has to do with something specific that's going on in your life. You lost your car keys. And they're saying, you know, God just showed me where your car keys are. And, you know, that kind of brings you back to the realm of, I belong to the Lord. And God is working in my life. And I guess I forgot about that a few minutes ago because I was so miserable. I couldn't find my keys. I'm a little bit late on the rent. All of these things are going on, and you lost the perspective of who you are in Jesus Christ. And then someone came along, a fellow believer, and gave you a word. And that word just kind of snapped you back into a position where you recognize, man, I'm one of the King's kids. I'm going to live for eternity. I have a great legacy. Sometimes we forget who we are as Christians. And it takes someone to come alongside of us and share with us, maybe it's a scripture, maybe it's a word that is related to a scripture. And, it puts us back, it gives us the right perspective on life. So Paul has given, in this chapter, 9 different gifts. They're gifts that if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you can receive one of those gifts, and in receiving that gift, be a blessing to a fellow member, or maybe it's a group of members. But these gifts are done by the power of God's Spirit working in us and through us. And often they occur in a very natural way. I say that because some of us, maybe we've come from a more Pentecostal tradition and, gifts, some gifts are exercised in church, and it's just kind of weird because people get weird tones in their voices, and they act a little bit weird, and you're thinking, man, I don't know about this. But listen, the spiritual gifts, for the most part, operate in a very natural way. Now, what we're going to do this morning is review these 9 gifts. Last week, we got further along in one service than we did in the other, So we're just going to review them, and then we'll finish the last three gifts. We didn't get to those three in neither of the services, so we'll finish with those. But the word of wisdom, we talked about the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is something that the Holy Spirit gives us to wisely give an answer to a specific need. And when I say wisely, I'm talking about the fact that God gives specific words. I mean, you know, they may be words that we know, but God has given them. And because he's given them, they address the situation. They address the problem, whatever it might be. And again, when you get these gifts, the word of wisdom would be certainly one example amongst many. You don't go into some kind of trance. You don't speak in an earthly voice. Maybe you're witnessing to someone. And in the course of your witnessing, they ask you a question. And you go, oh, my goodness. I know that there's an answer to that question, but I don't know the answer. And, you know, maybe you think of a Bible reference, and then suddenly you have it. I mean, the answer is there. And you share that answer. And, you're praising the Lord. And as the person is walking away pondering that profound answer you just gave him, you realize, wow, that wasn't me. That was the Lord. That was a word of wisdom that God gave to me so that that other person could benefit from the scripture. So a word of wisdom is something that God gives to us to share with another person, but that word didn't come from us. That wasn't a product of our intellect. It was a product of the Holy Spirit imparting that to us so that we could in turn impart that to a person that we're sharing with, a person that needs wisdom. There's all kinds of different applications of the word of wisdom, but the thing that I stress is, like the other gifts that are listed here, this is something that God has given to us that we might in turn share with another person, that they would be edified in the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to mention the word of knowledge. Now, we've talked about the word of wisdom. The word of knowledge is often involves something that is going to happen, and we happen to know about it, not because we read the future, but because the Holy Spirit has given us insight into what's going to happen. We used an illustration last week. I'll repeat the illustration. It's one of my favorite stories. Paul has been arrested, and he's being sent to Rome, and he's going to appeal to Caesar concerning his Christian testimony. And so it's a long journey. It's a journey that he is making on a large ocean-going vessel. This vessel is hauling a load of grain to the Roman Empire, as well as several hundred passengers. And as they are making their way to Italy, there is a ferocious storm. The Bible calls it a Euroclydon. I mean, it's just one of these storms where you hold on and, you pray. And it went on and on and on. The people exhausted their food supply. It was really a very bad situation. In fact, most of the people thought they were going to die. It was that kind of storm. And I don't know if you've ever been in an ocean-going vessel and you're out in the middle of the ocean, but I have. There wasn't a bad storm. But, you think, man, if something happens out here, all's I've got are this ship. And, in terms of the wide expanse of ocean, this ship really isn't that big. And of course, this ship, although it was big for that time frame when Paul was living, It wasn't anywhere near the size of ships we have today. But this ship was going down, and there was no question that most of the people thought that they were going to lose their life. And Paul gave this wonderful word of wisdom. He said, you know, we're going to lose the ship, but all of you are going to be saved. And, you know, it was almost unbelievable, except that Paul, by that time, he had established his testimony, had established the fact that he loved the Lord and that God was moving in his life, and that's exactly what happened. The ship was wrecked, but all of these people were able to survive, and they swam ashore. It's quite a story. It's in the book of Acts, but the word of knowledge. Paul knew what was going to happen. He didn't know that because he was some kind of clairvoyant. He knew that because God showed him, and he shared that with the people, and they survived. Now, the next gift that is mentioned is the gift of faith. Now, we know what faith is. Faith is putting our trust and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. But having said that, there are different applications of faith that we see in the Bible. Probably the most common one is the faith to believe, the faith that becomes saved, saving faith. You know, God gives us this this faith, and we put that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus comes into our hearts. He forgives our sin. That's called saving faith, and I would assume that most of you here are very familiar with that because you exercised that gift at one time. You asked Jesus to come into your life, and he came, and that's a wonderful thing. But this particular gift of faith is a gift that is given to the person that is exercising the gift because this person is believing God for something that, you know, is totally, as far as everybody else is concerned, out of the realm of possibility. In fact, often this kind of faith is going to take some kind of miraculous happening to occur. And you know, God has given you that faith to believe that it will happen. And in the face of overwhelming odds, you believe God because the Holy Spirit has given this power to believe. And that's the gift of faith. And again, there are many, many applications to this particular gift of faith where everybody says, no, that you're crazy to think that. That's not going to happen. It's just not within the realm of possibility. And yet God has shown you that he is going to do it, and that furthermore, he is going to do it in a way that will edify the people around the situation. So that's the gift of faith. Now, I've listed it in kind of a general way. There are many specific applications. We gave an application last week. But the gift of faith, the power to believe. And then there is the gift of healings, the gift of healings. Now, once again, this is a gift that God gives when he gives it. He doesn't always give it. And it is a gift that brings healing to sickness, injury, some kind of affliction. Now, let me just say that there are several ways in which people receive healings. After the service, we'll do this today. You can come up and men will lay hands on you. Or they'll anoint you with oil. We have a couple of bottles of oil up here. These are biblical ways through which we believe that according to the Word of God, healing is accomplished. Now, the people that lay hands on you, the people that anoint you with oil, they're not necessarily you know, they don't have the gift of healing. We do what God tells us to do, and then we leave the result up to God. And if God chooses to heal that person, that's great. But this is something that God does. We don't do. We just use the instruments that God has ordained in the Word of God, and if God is willing, God will heal. But this particular gift, the gift of healing, is a gift that is, well, I'll give you a real good example of it. I'll give you a good scriptural example of it. Turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Many of you know this story. Peter and John are on their way to the temple. It's about 3 o'clock. They're going to the afternoon prayer. And it says, now, as they went together to the temple at the hour of prayer, a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. So this guy is, I suppose we would call him a beggar. And he is just there because he has no means of support. He's depending on people to help him out. And I'm sure that Peter and John had seen this man many times. I'm sure that Jesus had seen this man standing there at this gate begging for alms. And so on this particular day, it says, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. You know, you read that and you think, for those of us who are a little bit older, you know, when we've been sitting for a while, you don't just jump up and leap around, you know. You kind of get up sort of a little bit on the slow side and you know, make sure that everything's working. Man, this guy, he hadn't walked his whole life. It was a divine healing. And God had given Peter and John this amazing power to heal him. It is the gift of healing. God granted this gift, and it was exercised, and this man was healed. Now, often this gift will operate in conjunction with the working of miracles. That's the next gift that is listed here. Now, when we talk about miracles, we're talking about the Holy Spirit literally overriding the laws of nature, and an actual miracle takes place. You know, sometimes we're kind of loose with that word miracle. We say, man, that was a miracle. Well, maybe it was a miracle. Maybe it was something that was, extraordinary. But a miracle is when the Holy Spirit literally takes over and sets the laws of nature aside and works a miracle. And, you know, we don't see this gift exercised a whole lot. Certainly not as much as many of us would like to see, And perhaps one of the reasons that we don't see it exercised is because there's not too many men or women that can handle that gift. Because when you have that much power, that power can go to your head. And you can become prideful. You can become puffed up. And so, you know, that gift is not something that is exercised a lot. However, it is often in the case of this healing that John and Peter participated in, you know, there had to be a situation where the Holy Spirit literally miraculously healed elements of this man's leg. He hadn't walked since birth, and suddenly he's walking and leaping. So the working of miracles, the gift of healings, sometimes happen in conjunction with one another. Now, it goes on to say, to another, the gift of prophecy. Let's see, where's our little list there? The gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy. So the gift of prophecy. Now, the gift of prophecy is the speaking forth of the Word of God through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's not preaching. I'm preaching right now. I have a carefully prepared study. It's all typed out. I'm following that study. I worked hard on it last night, and so I'm preaching. Probably the better term here would be teaching from the preparation that I've made. The gift of prophecy can take place during a sermon, but it is the sharing of the Word of God that comes from God alone. In other words, I'm going along and I think there's something else that needs to be said here. And as I'm sharing, I'm praying, and God begins to give an insight into the study that is not written in my notes, but in fact, it is from the Lord. And I'm thinking, wow. I'm learning something new. And I share it with the congregation. This is the gift of prophecy. Now, sometimes the gift of prophecy isn't even contained in a sermon. There have been instances all through biblical history, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and then on through up until the present day, where people, for one reason or another, have been perhaps asked a question, or they've been given an opportunity to speak. They don't know they're going to speak, but they suddenly God says, I want you to share the message of salvation with these people, and they begin to share the message of salvation. And in sharing the message of salvation, they share something that is very specific to someone in that crowd. You know, you need to receive the Lord tonight because this is your last chance. And maybe it is a very dire prediction. You know, you need to receive the Lord because you don't have much time left. Those are words of prophecy. Now, you can have a salvation message worked out, but the word of prophecy is something that God gives you that comes alongside of what you have prepared, or it's just something that God has revealed to you that you're sharing with the people around you. And there are times when prophetic utterances even forecast the future. This is what is going to happen. Now, that isn't always the case. Sometimes prophecy is just a revealing of the Word of God, but there are other times where prophecy is sharing something that's going to happen in the future. You're speaking in a way that predicts the future. And you become a channel through which the Lord is speaking. The word of prophecy is being exercised. Now, I should tell you that there will be times where perhaps you are given a word of prophecy to share. You know what? That doesn't mean you're a prophet. That just means that you've been given a word of prophecy, you share that. The word of prophecy and a prophet, they're two different things. But you can speak a prophetic word and yet not be a prophet. It says over in chapter 14, in the first verse, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So prophecy, it's an important gift. It's a gift that that God gives. And again, these gifts are given to, first of all, edify the body of Christ. I explained that right at the beginning of the message, how that sometimes we're down and we've lost track of who we are in Jesus Christ. We've been overwhelmed by the circumstances of the present world. And, you know, we're a little bit listless. And these gifts are to build you back up. The next gift that he gives is the discerning of spirits. The discerning of spirits. You say, what's that? Well, that is actually a very important gift. The discerning of the spirits is about the ability to tell the difference between true doctrine and false doctrine, between what is the Holy Spirit and what isn't. And we need this gift of the discerning of spirits so that, you know, the body of Christ is not taken in by someone who has his own, thing to do, his own axe to grind, his own, objectives, and is using the body of Christ to fulfill his own ends. So it's very important that we have those that have the gift of the discerning of spirits. And here's the deal. Satan wants to totally undermine the gospel of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want people to understand the way of salvation. He wants to thwart those attempts to share the gospel. And because he is so determined to do that, he'll join the church. And we need to be careful and make sure that that when people are sharing from the pulpit, they're sharing the gospel, they're sharing the word of God, and not a man-centered message. We can give some very well-known examples of people who have used the terminology of Christianity, but they use the name of Jesus, but the name of Jesus is not the Jesus that we know in the Bible. That's true of the Mormon Church. That's true of the Jehovah's Witnesses. They use the terminology, but they use their terms in a different way. So the gift of the discerning of spirits is an important gift. It's a gift that is needed. It's a gift that, we can be listening to somebody and, it's like there's a feeling in our heart. There's something wrong here. There's something that this person sounds good, and yet there's something wrong. And that's the discerning of spirits, and it's a very important gift. It's a very well-needed, it's a very needed gift. Now, we come finally to the gift of tongues. It says, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, this is a very, in some respects, controversial issue, because there are those that say that though there was a gift of tongues, I mean, you can't deny it, there are instances where people spoke in tongues when the Holy Spirit was given in Acts chapter 2. There was a speaking in tongues. There were 120 people speaking in various languages. And, you know, everybody was surprised because they said, man, these guys are Galileans. They don't know those languages. How could they know those languages? Well, they didn't know those languages. Those languages were given by the Lord. And and it's very clear. It's very clear and that as they were speaking not in terms of they were speaking not in terms of a conversation that they were having with people. They were speaking to the Lord. And that's what the gift of tongues essentially is. It is a personal language of prayer given by God, whereby the believer can communicate with God beyond the limits of knowledge and understanding. And, you know, when we talk about the gift of tongues, now I should say first and foremost that, you know, there are there is in the body of Christ today, in this day in which we live, there are Pentecostals, and there are those that are non-Pentecostals. And Calvary Chapel really doesn't fit in the Pentecostal group. The Pentecostals, they have, some ways of sharing in the gifts of the Spirit that we don't particularly abide by, but we do believe in the gift of tongues, because there is nothing in the Word of God that says that it has been removed. There's nothing that says that it will be removed. And so the gift of tongues is something that is given to a believer to give us a time to, you ready? Edify ourselves. See, all of these other gifts are gifts whereby we edify the body of Christ. Eight of the nine gifts, there is some sort of edification going on, but in this particular gift, we edify ourselves. There are several ways that, or several things that take place as we are given this prayer language. Now, the prayer language that we're given, I mentioned the day of Pentecost. Most of those people were speaking in languages that were known, because there were people from all over that part of the world that had come for this big celebration, this Pentecost celebration, and they spoke these various languages. And what blew them away is that these Galileans were speaking in languages that they could understand, but that Galileans did not have any knowledge of. And those languages were quote-unquote human languages. Now, having said that, it says in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. And so many of us believe that There are gifts of the Spirit that pertain to, various languages that are quote unquote human languages, and there are tongues that are in a heavenly language, and I don't know which one I speak. I don't know if mine is a tongue that is a man-centered tongue or a tongue of angels. Now, again, this is a gift that some people have, some people don't. It says in verse 30 of chapter 12, do all speak with tongues? And the answer would seem to say no, not all people speak with tongues. And if you don't, that's fine. If you do, that's a blessing. This is a gift that can help in our personal devotional time with the Lord, and particularly in our prayer life. I don't know if you've ever been confronted. I've been confronted a number of times with situations where I need to pray, and yet I'm not sure exactly how to pray. I can pray generally, but I can't pray specifically. In those particular situations, sometimes I'll pray in the prayer language that God has given me, just confident that as I am praying, God is using that prayer to bring relief to whoever I'm praying for. There are other times where we use that language to bolster our communication with the Lord. I mean, sometimes there's things where we want to tell the Lord something, but it's beyond our means to communicate. We don't have the vocabulary for it. And so we use this particular gift that God has given. And, if you don't have the gift, it's something to seek after. Now, I look at these gifts and I look at the last part of chapter 12 that we've been studying this morning, and it's listed as the last gift. There are other gifts, and perhaps some of those gifts are more important. But listen, if God has given a gift, it's worth it to ask the Lord for it and to use it, and as we use it, we will be edified and built up in the Lord. And I'll tell you, everybody here, we've had those experiences where we're down, and we're thinking, wow, I know I'm not supposed to feel this way, but this is exactly the way I feel. And we can use the prayer language to bolster our feelings and get us back to where we need to be. Now, Paul lists these nine gifts, and then having listed them in the remainder of the chapter, he talks about the fact that a fact that I think most of you are well aware of, but maybe you're well aware of it, but you're not really exercising the way it's supposed to be exercised. And here's the deal. The emphasis in the remainder of the chapter is that we are a body. We're the body of Christ. We're all given various giftings. We're all given various duties to do. But those are supposed to flow in such a way that as the body is going forward, as the body is accomplishing that which the Lord wants us to accomplish, there's not a schism in the body. There's not a disagreement in the body. There's not those kinds of things that, cause the body to, you know, be out of sorts. I guess about a week ago, I hurt my leg, and I was kind of concerned this morning because it was really sore, and I thought, you know, am I going to be able to do this? And I got up here, and you know, I just feel like I feel normal. I feel just like I've always felt, and God is faithful to do that, and that is the way the body is supposed to function. We work together, and we depend upon the Lord for that. That sense of, you know, we've all got a job to do. If somebody has a problem, we're going to encourage that person. We're going to get them back to where they need to be. In verse 26, it says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's who we are. It says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And as members, we have various assignments to do. And, you know, if those assignments need the help of a special gift, those gifts are available too. And, you know, my prayer is, I have gone through this, you know, it's not often that we spend two sessions in one chapter, but I'm praying that maybe some of you that you've known the Lord for a while, and maybe at one time you exercised a spiritual gift. That is to say that if there was a spiritual gift that God wanted to give you, you were ready, you were honored to get it, but maybe recently you haven't been thinking of spiritual gifts. You haven't been focused on your part to edify the entire body of Christ. Well, this is a good opportunity this morning to consider what we are called to be as we fulfill our glorious calling as a member of the body of Christ. Sometimes we get so caught up in the things of the world that we forget who we are. Don't forget. Remember, we're the body of Christ. And we have things to fulfill. And if we can't fulfill them, God has miraculous gifts that he's willing to give in order to make it possible for us to do those things. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the gifting that you've given to us, Lord. We thank you for the fact that, Lord, if we're willing, you will use us for your glory, for your honor. And you'll use us in specific ways. And Lord, I thank you for the fact that there are people here in this body that you're using. Humble people, and yet they've been gifted. And I thank you for the gifts that you've given. But Lord, I know there are people here in this body that they've been given gifts and they're not using them. And I pray, Lord, that you would do a work in each one of our lives that would once again set us on fire to be people that you would use to save a dying world, to be people that you would use to revive your body, to cause them to be the people that you've called them to be. So, Lord, we thank you for your gifting. Help us to take advantage, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand together?
Sing White as Your Love.
What is your love and grace? What is your love and grace? You never change.